So today, I'm finishing a series that I started on the book of Philippians, which is in the New Testament. And you don't need to turn there yet. I'll have you turn there in just a moment. And this is just the last sermon in the series. And if you were with us a couple weeks ago, you may remember that I bit off more than I could chew in one sermon. And so I had to divide it into two, which pushed everything back a week, or I would have been preaching something different today. But I think it's fitting during this Sunday before Christmas to address the subject that Paul addresses as he concludes his letter and brings it in for a landing today. Now, we have all probably met someone who has astounded us with their generosity. And if you ever meet someone who just astounded you with their open-hearted generosity. In fact, 10 years ago, almost to the day practically, it was November 26, 2002, the Lilly Endowment Corporation, which is based in Indianapolis, Indiana, which is an arm of Eli Lilly Pharmaceutical Company, the Lilly Endowment gave the church that I was serving back east and me a grant in the amount of $30,000. It's the first time I ever won anything in my life. And I had to work for it. I had to write a 40-page grant proposal, but the money provided a 4.5-month season of renewal and refreshment for me by covering expenses that the church would incur during my time away, as well as paying for time away for me to work on some projects and do some things and travel with my family. And I was absolutely astounded by the generosity of the Lilly Endowment. We've all probably met someone who has astounded us with their generosity. As a young married couple with two young children at the time, we lived in a city where public transportation was about non-existent. This wasn't Chicago, it wasn't New York, it was a joke. And we had one car, the four of us, and I was astounded one Sunday after worship when a friend of ours approached me holding some keys in his hand and he said, "I want to give you my Toyota pickup truck. So come with me over to the house and get it now." Just astounded. So I went and got the truck, drove it for several years, and astounded by his generosity. And when we moved out of state several years later, I passed it on as a gift to our neighbor who lived across the street from us. We've all met someone who has astounded us by their generosity. My wife and I have been astounded by your generosity in recent days. You've blessed us with prayers and with kind Christmas cards and thoughtful notes and photos of your family, which are so fun to see you dressed in your Christmas regalia and your smiling faces, photos of your families, an abundance of gifts from fruit to gift cards to almond roca to popcorn. And today when I walked in, someone astounded me with their generosity in giving me my biggest vice in life, which is chocolate-covered raisins. Good reason for me to exercise regularly. We've all met someone who has astounded us with their generosity. I want you to watch this video with me of someone who astounded me with his generosity when I saw this. So watch this with me.
Person of the week. Sitting in the crowd of thousands at the Arizona Diamondbacks game, a 12-year-old boy watching the game, about to do something that would catch not only their eyes in the announcer's booth, but ours too. We couldn't believe what we were seeing.
It was the fourth inning. A player tosses a ball into the stands. Two little boys wanted it, but only Ian McMillan would get it.
Oh, look at that young Brewers fan. Now, wait a minute. He is. Did he get?
No.
Oh, boy.
He is sour. He is sour. The Diamondback fan got it.
The announcers watching with their own play-by-play.
Huh? Oh, he's bummed.
Are you kidding me? This kid's going to do this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is big time.
Oh, my goodness.
What a nice young man.
Well, he's got a Diamondbacks hat. We have to get something for that kid in the red. I can't believe I just witnessed that.
That is awesome.
You, young man, are a star.
You, young man, are awesome.
The game would go on, Ian having given up his prized catch. But then a phone call. It seemed someone had seen his kindness on TV.
He's being told right now that he's being praised on TV.
Yeah, he's big league.
Late today, we met Ian too.
I thought it was the right thing to do. Like, I saw the kid, he was really sad, so I decided just to give the ball back. And my mom and my dad, like, taught me that way, so it's kind of just, like, natural.
Ian didn't leave that game empty-handed. Moments after giving that ball away, the announcers had a special gift for the fan, a baseball bat signed by his favorite player.
Opt an autographed bat and a contract for the generous Ian and his buddies.
The box was really, really cool. I was, like, really surprised, and, like, I did not see that coming.
He's got good home training.
That's a very well-bred young man.
Reminding us all that often what you give...
Nice going, young man.
...delivers far more in return than even a little boy could imagine.
Now, I have a question. I want you to be honest. How many of you would have given that ball up? Never mind. Ian McMillan's generosity astounded the young Milwaukee Brewers fan. And like that young Brewers fan, I'm astounded by the generosity of a group of people who live in the ancient city of Philippi. And so I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, the page number's on the screen, page 832. Philippians 4. As we take a peek at a group of very generous people. Philippians chapter 4, page 832. Today we come to the final sermon in our series on the New Testament book of Philippians. And my aim today is simply this, to complete this thank you letter that Paul wrote to his friends in the church in Philippi and share with you all very briefly what I want for you regarding your generosity and not what I want from you. This is the word of the Lord, Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. This is Paul writing. Last week, remember, he talked about contentment, that he knew how to have a little, how to have a lot, that he learned the secret of how to be content in any and every circumstance. And the secret is found in a person, and the person is Jesus Christ. It's not in accumulating more stuff. It's in Jesus Christ. And so he continues in verse 14, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles." In other words, his financial troubles, his financial needs. "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." I offer you three simple, brief observations about what Paul thinks of the generosity of the Philippians. First observation, Paul thanks the Philippians for their giving both in the present and in the past. In fact, he mentions their present generosity in verse 14, and he mentions their past generosity in verses 15 and 16, and you can see it there in your Bibles. The Philippians generously support Paul in the present while he's living in prison. Remember, he's under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard 24/7, and he has to pay his own bills even though he's under house arrest. And so they generously support him by sending a gift with a man named Epaphroditus to pay Paul's bills. And so they identify with Paul as partners with him as he does the work of the gospel in Rome, as he shares the gospel with the Praetorian Guard, which are like Caesar's super combination of Navy SEAL Secret Service agents who watch Paul. That's why they send a financial gift to him, because they're partners with him. In fact, the Philippians were also generous with Paul in their early days as Christians. And this map that I have for you now on the screens will help explain verses 15 and 16. As you look at the map, you can see the city of Philippi circled in red. You can see the city of Rome opposite side circled in red. And you can see Thessalonica in the middle there. So when Paul was younger and living in Macedonia, which is where the blue arrow points to that area, the Philippians are the only church of all the churches that he started to invest in him by partnering with him financially. And right after Paul started the church in Philippi is the only church that invested in Paul's work and shared with him financially more than once. And so as I look at the Philippians and what Paul says they did in the past and what they're doing in the present, their generosity astounds me. So what does Paul think about the generosity of the Philippians? First observation, Paul thanks them for their financial investment in him, both in the present as well as in the past. And I want to just personally, on behalf of our church leadership, thank you for your financial investments in God's work through College Avenue, both in the present and in the past. Second observation. Paul encourages the Philippians to invest financially so that they can enjoy the bonus that results from their generosity. Notice verse 17 in your Bibles. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So in other words, he's saying, you know what? I had needs, but because of your generosity, my needs are met now. I have everything I need. And the gifts that you've given, they are like a fragrant offering. Now, I brought something with me today to help illustrate this point, and I brought a fragrance bag. I know this isn't your typical fragrance bag that you might see at the mall, at the Starbucks bag, but trust me, there are fragrances in here. And I need three volunteers of all ages. I need someone who's like, I need a, I don't know, a fourth grade girl. Oh. What grade are you? That'll work. Come on. And I need someone in their 40s, male or female. Someone in their 40s. That's like, that means the decade. Like between 40 and, okay, come on. Now you need to come stand up here, okay? So people can see you. And I need a college student of any age. Brandon, why don't you come since you've been gone for so long? Okay, so I want you guys to stand on the top step, and this is going to be a test, okay? Fragrance test. So what you're going to all do after Brandon gets here, I want you to close your eyes, okay? Are you stable? Okay, keep your eyes closed, and I'm going to let you smell something, and I want you to tell me what it is, okay? So I'm going to start with you, Ruth. Just keep your eyes closed, smell it, tell me what it is.
Okay, should I tell you now?
Yeah, tell me now.
Cinnamon.
It's cinnamon. You are exactly correct. You can open your eyes now. Okay, now your eyes closed because I'm going to show you, I'm going to have you smell something now, okay? Take a deep sniff.
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Very good. Okay, Brandon, last but not least. Okay, ready, Brandon? This is something you did not smell in China. Don't fall asleep on me. I know you have jet lag. You have no idea?
I can't smell
anything. I can smell it from here.
Oh, I'm all congested. He's all congested. Why didn't you tell me that? He's congested. Okay, this is what you were smelling.
That's nice.
He goes, that's nice. Thank you. thank you very much. Brandon, you've been away too long. So what Paul is saying is that as he looks at their generosity, both in the present and the past, it's like a sweet fragrance. I love all three of those fragrances. I love cinnamon. It's my second best friend. I put it on a lot of my food. I love chocolate. Anyone else love chocolate? And I love the smell of vanilla candles. So he says, their financial gifts that they sent with Epaphroditus are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And in fact, these are terms that are used in the Old Testament where they describe the sacrifices that worshipers offer to God. In fact, when you would go to worship in the Old Testament, it was more like going to a barbecue. Because you'd come in and they'd have a grill out and have lamb on it and, you know, cooking meat, and you could just smell it. A nice fragrance. The terms are also used in the New Testament to describe Jesus Christ generously offering himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And the point is that when the Philippians are generous, and when you are generous, and when I'm generous, we aren't giving to the Apostle Paul. We're not giving to a church. We're not giving to a missionary. We're not giving to an organization. We, in essence, are giving to God himself. It's as if Jesus is standing at the end of the aisle, handing me the offering plate as it comes by. Or it's as if I go on our website to give online, and Jesus is there on the website as I click give online. Because we're ultimately giving not to an entity or to a person, but to God himself. It's as if Jesus Christ is the one receiving that. Generosity is evidence of spiritual growth and maturity because it is a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, and pleasing to God. And the Philippians are faithful investors in the gospel, and so there's a bonus that comes with it. Verse 19. And this verse is so important, I have it on the screen for you as well. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And so just as the Philippians have met Paul's financial needs, so God will meet their needs. God will continue providing for them so that they can continue to be generous. And may I tell you from my own personal experience that God does that. As I release more and more of my stuff, more and more of my money, more and more of my possessions, and seek to live a simpler life and a more generous life, God just blows us away by giving us more and more so that we in turn can be generous and share with other people and continue to be generous. As I told you last Sunday, the Philippian church is broke, yet they are generous in their giving. This sentence in verse 19 tells us that we can always trust God to provide what we need in order to be generous to other people. This statement is written to generous and sacrificial givers who invest in God's kingdom. We can all probably think of examples that appear to be exceptions to this statement of verse 19, but could it be that some of our greatest needs, when we see those exceptions, are not financial? We may not get what we want, but God will provide what we need, whether it's money or contentment or humility or courage or patience. And as I told you last week, I believe that there were days that Paul didn't eat and his stomach was growling and he may have been grumpy with hunger pains. And there are days when Paul had more than enough to eat. It was as if a friend spread out a buffet for him to dive in and eat as much as he wanted. I believe there are nights when Paul slept on the street of some of the cities where he served Christ. And there are nights when Paul slept in four-star hotels. Paul experienced days of abundance and he experienced days of shortage. Yet God met his needs and gave him the gift of contentment. Contentment, as I told you last Sunday, is not found in having everything, but in being satisfied with everything that you have. So what does Paul think of the generosity of the Philippians? First observation, Paul thanks the Philippians for their faithful financial investment, both in the present and in the past. And again, I want to thank you for your financial investments in God's kingdom work through us, both in the present and in the past. Second observation, Paul encourages the Philippians to invest financially so that they can enjoy the bonus that results from their generosity, which is that God will supply their needs. And a third and final observation is that Paul reminds the Philippians that God gets the credit when they give. God gets the credit. Notice verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. We give, God gets the credit. The goal of giving is to draw attention to God, to magnify God, to praise God, to worship God. That is the goal of our giving. And it's I want to illustrate that for you. So what I'd like is I need two people. So I'll take a couple of elementary school age kids again. First, okay, you girls, come on down. She got a turn last time, so you can come on. Come on. You guys can come too, okay? So you have to come stand up here. Okay. So just stand here, okay? All right, and spread out just a little bit. Yeah, like that. That's great. Okay, move this way a little bit. I want people to be able to see you. Okay. And how old are you?
Five.
You're five, and how old are you?
6 3/4.
He's an accountant. He said 6 3/4. When is your birthday?
February
9th. I think that's 6 3/4. I'm glad I called you up here.
12.
You're 12? 12. 12 and a quarter, 12 and a third.
12 and 6 hours.
Today's your 12th birthday. She'll be 12 in 6 hours, she said.
12.
Oh, she's 12 and 6. So you were born at
3:32.
3:32 in the morning. Man, what's with all this precision today? Do you know what time you were born? Wow. Okay. So what I want to do is I want to illustrate how you give a gift to someone and someone else gets the credit for it. Okay? So you ready for this? So I'm going to give you that. And I'm going to give you that. And I'm going to give you that. And I'm going to give you that. Okay? So I want you to give that as a gift to someone. So go give it to whoever you want to out there. Okay? Just go give it to anybody you want. I don't care who it is. You can't keep it though. Give it to anyone you want to. Is she debating keeping it? Oh, how sweet. You gave it to her? Okay, you can keep it. Did you give yours away yet? Okay, all right. You guys can be seated. So who got the money? Don Goss and Bailey? And I didn't catch her name, but... And then who else? Grace and... Okay. All right, so the point is this. They were able to give a gift to someone, and ultimately, the credit comes to me because I gave them the money to give it to them. And it's like that with God. God gives us what he entrusts to us to, in turn, share generously, and God gets the credit, God gets the glory, because he gave us all that we have. So what do I want for you? I want you to remember that money's a tool. That's all it is. We want to use our money to serve as many people as possible. That's why we as a church family invest in opportunities like Operation Christmas Child. My wife just got an email a couple of days ago stating that the shoebox that she stuffed landed in the Philippines. Any of you get your emails yet telling you where your boxes went? That's just real exciting to say, okay, so that's the country. What are some of the countries your boxes went to? Nepal. Where else? Anyone else? Philippines. Anyone else? Haiti. I just think that's the coolest thing. So these boxes leave San Diego and they go to these places around the world as an expression of our generosity, because money's a tool. That's why we invest in things like that. Or Christmas in the City, or provide Marshall Elementary School backpacks for our school in City Heights that we seek to invest in. We collect and distribute food and coats. We just had a food and coat drive last month. We host a homeless shelter, which we've been doing this month on our campus. We want to use our money as a tool to serve as many people as possible. That's why we invest in a fall festival on our campus to serve our community. That's why we invest in world missions around the world. So on behalf of our church family again, I want to say to you, thank you. And I want to encourage you, those of you who are regular, consistent, committed, generous givers like the Philippians. We don't support God's ministry. We share in God's ministry as partners. God's ministry doesn't depend on your generosity or on my generosity, but if you'd like to invest in it and share in it with God, he'll let you. And so what Paul sees is that the spirit of the Philippians is generous, and he would like to see that kind of spirit in us. When I look at the generosity of the Philippians, and I look at the generosity of many of you, I am astounded. And so let's live generously, not because the church needs it, not because a Christian organization needs it, not because a missionary needs it, but because you want to invest in it and share in what God is doing. And so as you go today, if you have never read this book, The Treasure Principle, I have free copies of it that I'll have up here on the front, at the front for you. It's an excellent book on this whole issue of generosity and using money as a tool. Many of you have this and have read it. We purchased a bunch of these a few years ago, not long after I arrived, and distributed them to you. So we have some left, and so feel free, don't be shy, come up and grab a copy and read this book. Also, may I encourage you, the next time we offer the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace classes, may I encourage you to consider taking it. How many of you have taken the Dave Ramsey, whether here at College Avenue or somewhere else? So look around, talk to some of these people and ask them, what did they glean from it? What did they learn from it? How did it change their lives? We've all probably met someone who has astounded us with generosity. If you are not yet a Christian, but you're here with us in worship today, we welcome you. We're glad that you were here with us on this Sunday before Easter. But I want you to know that our generous God, Sunday before Christmas, that was a slip. Thank you for tipping me off so I could rewind. I'm just getting old. This Sunday before Christmas, some of y'all might not see until Easter, but I hope you come then. But welcome. But God has a gift for you. And it's an intimate relationship with him through Jesus Christ. God set the standard for generosity by sending Jesus to be born of a Virgin Mary, to live a pure, holy, sinless life, to willingly, voluntarily lay down his life as a sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. God is a generous God, and he extends his generosity to you through Jesus Christ.